Hello guys, welcome to another beautiful episode of Leadership Podcast with me, Stephen Akintan. And today, I'm with a very amazing person, you know, really, really amazing. He's a family coach, he's a marriage coach, relationship coach, but more importantly, he's an entrepreneur and he's also a pastor. Some of you will have seen videos of married people kissing each other up and down. That's the man behind it. Pastor BC, how are you, sir?
I'm all right, doctor.
You're welcome.
The eagle has landed.
Let's even start with this couple's kissing up and down. Where did that idea come from?
You see, we have been in this business for 26 years.
Yes.
And we discovered that teaching people about marriage is not enough to make them to build their marriage.
Mm.
So I began to do a lot of study, then I discovered something scientifically that when you make them to do it, you begin to help them.
Mm.
One of them is, in fact, we started something we call it THHK. THHK, rule THHK, simply means touching, holding, hugging, and kissing.
Wow.
So if couples can touch, if they can hold, if they can hug, if they can kiss, they will hardly fight.
Wow. And this is scientific.
This is scientific. In fact, look at it. If you are hugging anybody, you can't say, you are not holding me very well. Are you mad? Hold me very well. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
No. You will just discover a bond.
Yeah.
Intimacy, yeah. That we naturally generate, and the Bible confirms it, that if two people lie together, they generate it. So when people come to my office for, we call it marriage clinic, so we don't do counseling again, we call it clinic. So I don't just listen to you and say, why are you fighting this and that, and they spend 3 hours to explain. We give them form to fill, a lot of form, background form and everything, by the time they sit down with us to talk, whether on Zoom or physically in our office at Ikeja. You will discover that they came fighting. Many of them will come in two different cars. They didn't even come together. So by the time they sit down, the first thing we tell them is, sit down side by side. Your body must be touching each other. At the stage, we say, hold the hand of each other. Now talk to me. Talk to me as you are holding each other's hand. There's no way you can be saying, this mad woman that I'm holding, this crazy man that I'm holding, they are already...
So that already just starts solving the problem.
It's already solved. Even my office there, when I discovered that we are not really making it, well, I say, get up, Mr. Ade, put your hand on the shoulders of your wife. Woman, do the same thing. Look at each other eyeball to eyeball. You can never be looking somebody at the eyeball to eyeball and hate the person. We call it a soul gaze. You are looking at the soul of the person through the window of the eyes.
Wow.
It's psychological, it's spiritual, and it's also scientific. So in the office, at a stage, I would say, now hug each other. In my presence, I would just put them in one corner. They can hug there in the next one now, that I won't bother to talk to them. I will face some other thing. By the time they return to talk to me, they will talk sense.
Wow.
So likewise, when we have couples program, we make sure we don't have the singles there, we don't have everybody sit down. Touch your wife, hold your wife, hug each other, pray together. You will see them, people that have not spoken. There's a particular case that a man and his wife came to my office, they've not spoken to each other for 5 years.
5 years?
Under the same roof. I have another one that have not spoken to each other in 3 years on the same bed. They were sleeping on the same bed.
And they don't talk to each other.
And they don't talk to each other. Both of them were having insomnia. They can't sleep for more than 2-3 hours. You can't be sleeping beside your enemy and sleep off. So, but by the time they came to us, they said, oh, marriage counselor, they have tried, they cannot get solution. I said, you will get solution here. And by the grace of God, we are getting almost 90% success rate.
Wow.
In our practice. That's why we call it marriage clinic. So as I sit down, by the time they hug each other for about 30 minutes and now sit down, what the wife did not say to nobody on earth, she opened up. And that was it.
Wow.
So they went to bed. We were in the same hotel room. They supposed to join me in church where I was ministering. I said, go and dress up. Instead of them dressing up, okay, the husband went to the bedroom to go and bathe.
Mm.
No, the wife went into the bedroom. By the time the wife came out to come and see the husband,
mm.
the husband was already sleeping. Somebody that cannot sleep for 2 hours. He slept from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Hey.
That day. So that's why when you see people touch each other, hold each other, people think we are just doing drama. No. We are being scientific. We want to solve real problem through real actions.
Hmm. So, Pastor BC, I used to know you way back from the days of the late Ojagbase. And, you know, I think you had the column on Success Digest, you know, and so I knew. How did this all start for you? You know, want to get to know a bit about you.
I used to tell people that I came from a very humble background.
Mm.
I was born in the village. I was raised in the village. I didn't use the, what do we call the name of this toilet? This
WC.
WC, water system.
Yes.
Until I was 17.
Wow. Me was 13.
Was 13, yes. I senior you. The first time I used it, okay, when I entered into the, I said I wanted to use the toilet. I came to Lagos around 1988-89 for the first time. And I entered into the toilet. They said, that's the toilet. By the time I entered into the toilet, I saw China plate. I said, is this the place we are going to do the? I said, I didn't want to eat. I want to poop. They said, no, put your bum there. So I sat down with all fear and dread, thinking the thing would break.
I had that experience.
Mm-hmm. And luckily for me, it didn't break. So when I finished, you know, we used to use what they call latrine.
Yes.
I don't want to call it toilet. They call it salanga in Yoruba land. So immediately you finish in latrine, the thing with the poo, you will not see the poo again. Mm. It must have disappeared into the pit.
Yeah.
But this one refused to go. I shook the he didn't go. I shook the thing at the back. Luckily, I now saw something like this. Okay, let me put. Then water began to gush out. When water gushed out, I ran out half naked. I thought the water would cover the whole house like the day of Noah. I thought I've made a mistake. that was my background.
Wow.
I saw electricity for the first time in my, was it not in my SS3? I was in SS3 in the village. When they commissioned the electricity in that village, that night, all our goat, dog, chicken, dog, and the people in that village did not sleep. Everybody, you know, chicken is used to seeing light toward the end, toward the beginning of the day. Now there is perfect light around 9 p.m. They began to crow. Everybody began to run after skater. That was my background. That was the place I was raised. So I saw poverty in the highest way.
Yeah.
Then I made up my mind that I don't want to be poor. But how I will escape poverty, I don't know.
Mm.
So in 1990, I wrote my WAEC. They call it the first set of senior secondary school then in Ondo State. The result was very bad, very poor. Though my result was the best in the school, was one of the best in the school. I had 3 or 4 credits. Credit in agriculture, credit in Yoruba, and distinction in, credit in agriculture, credit in biology, and distinction in Yoruba. That one can only enter university to study Babalawo herbalist. you agriculture to know, and Yoruba to do the incantation. So I couldn't get that. But I knew one thing right away from that day. I knew that if I rewrite this exam in that place 10 times, I will fail.
Hmm.
Because of the kind of friends people were relating together. So I said, I told my parents that I have to leave the village.
Hmm.
They should allow me to come to Lagos. You see, I came to Lagos in 1988 for the first time, so I knew then that somewhere called Lagos is like that place is better. One can make it better. If I stay in this village, maybe I will end up becoming a vulcanizer, a carpenter.
What village is
that? That is how it was.
What village is it?
They call the place Bamikema in Ondo State.
In Ondo State.
So I left the place. So they allowed me to go. So I came down to Lagos. But there's something I need to tell everybody there so that we can learn. The first thing I did was to see the reason why I failed. I was very young, but I knew people were saying, your result is better. But my result is better. I cannot even enter INC. Talk less of polytechnic, talk less of university. So they were even praising me, oh, your result is better and everything. Out of 53 students, you are one of the best and everything. So I sat down. The first thing I noticed was that, the first thing I did was to check the reason why we failed. I failed. I didn't say we failed.
Taking personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility.
Ownership.
So I discovered, number one, we believe in supernatural power to write WAEC for us. Supernatural. How did we do that? I remember we bought a particular prophet, a white garment prophet, few weeks to our exam. We called the name of the prophet Eli Jabura.
Eli Jabura.
Eli Jabura. The man was very tall, almost 7 feet. Wow. He didn't have size for any shoe.
Wow.
So immediately and then came
he had dreads.
Very long dread. Immediately he came, I knew I had passed.
We've passed this way.
Then he did one thing for us. He said we should bring out a bucket, he pour water into it, and he said we should bring out matches. He struck the match, and water began to burn inside water. We began to scream, water burning. We didn't know it is camphor. There's something they call, is it camphor or camphor?
Yes, camphor.
If you do it and put it in water and it will be burning.
My parents are saying
this. So after that, he said we should give him all our pen, our mathematical sets, pencil, everything we are going to use that he's taking, he will be taking it to Yaragbara. And he took it in there for about 7 days. We wrap it, we sellotape and everything so that you write your name there. Then he left after 5 days, 7 days, he returned it to us. So we just went to the like, to go and be playing football. This is a done deal. By the time we got our result, so I began to think, this Eli Jabura man, did he ever went to school? The answer is no. He didn't finish primary school. If his supernatural power can write one hand for us, why is it that he didn't do it for himself? He didn't finish primary school. So I made up my mind, and all my friends were staying around. I made up my mind that I'm not staying in this village. I came to Lagos. When I got to Lagos, I told my auntie, please find a place for me. I don't want to be among people that knows me. So the woman took me somewhere around Badagry, rented a room for me in the village. I didn't know nobody there. I sat down, registered in the secondary school there. They didn't allow me to go to school. So I will read from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. I will go to lesson, return, sit down by 10 p.m., read till around 4 a.m. in the morning. Wow. Go to bed, and I did it for 9 months. I was still a teenager. I did it for 9 months. By the time I sat down for the exam, I cleared all the paper and I came out in a fine color. And that was it. That was the beginning of my journey. So I became success drunk. I knew that there are principles of success. We couldn't get all those books in the village. Luckily for me, I stumbled on a magazine called Success Digest. That was the beginning of everything. Then I stumbled on the book of Bishop Bidefido Oyedepo. There's a particular book called Success Button.
Yes.
That was my first encounter with him. Ooh, by the time I sat down with it, I said, wow.
What year was this?
That was around 1991-92. Okay. I sat down, I began to read. Then I made up my mind that no matter what, because I saw my dad did not give birth to too many children. They pray, went to church before God gave him only 8 of us. Just 8 of us. So, four boys, four girls. And you are, he was a farmer. How can the income sustain 80 children?
Wow.
It was difficult. So poverty was, he tried his best. My mom tried her best. But Yoruba call it omipo jokalo. So at times, he will stay with a bucket of our food like this, where they normally pack rice, beans. He will look at it and discover that the thing was going down. And I will see him shaking.
Yeah.
How will he cope? So I made up my mind that I said, by the grace of God, I will not be like this.
Yeah.
So I read Suicide Digest. I wrote a letter to Ojegbase. As at that period, if you want to see Ojegbase, you have to pay 1,000 naira as a consultation fee. But I wrote to him, I said, I don't have money. I'm a student.
So rest in peace. He started the whole industry in Nigeria.
Yes. And he did. He replied me through the night post. He replied me. He said, I should come and see him. And he told me, I will mentor you. I will take care of you. I just liked the letter you wrote. Wow.
Yeah.
That was the beginning.
Wow.
So I began to get the Suicide Digest, his training, and everything like that. So I entered the school. I was able to enter a school. By the time I got to school, toward the end of the schooling days, I was reading, preparing. I got born again in 1992, along the line.
Okay.
And that changed my story forever. As at the time I was writing WAEC, I was not born again.
Yeah.
But in 1992, that's October 5th, I became born again. Then I knew there are many more things to life than your ability, than you need grace. So I became committed on campus, on fellowship, and everything like that.
What campus?
Lagos State Polytechnic.
Okay.
When I was writing my final exam, I studied accounting. I was preparing for a course called Management Accounting and Financial Accounting. If you are a financial student, financial accounting student, if you are preparing for MA and FA, you don't joke with a day like that, because they are 4-4 unit courses.
Yeah.
So you don't joke about it, because if you fail, you know what will happen to your GP. But that was the day I was reading that. I just heard something in my head and said, meet me on the field. Meet me on the field. I look around. We were in a very big hall reading. Many people were reading. Other people were sleeping. So nobody was talking to me. I look around again and said, meet me on the field. The third time, he said, meet me on the field. I want to talk to you. I knew it was God.
Yes.
So I closed my book. I went to the field. There's this football pitch in the front of the hall. Immediately I got there, he just began to talk to me that I want to use you to revive, to renew, to repair, to rejuvenate all dilapidated homes.
And you were not married, this?
I was not married. I was a student. He said to bring my son and daughter together in holy matrimony, to raise people for the end time revival using home units. That's why we didn't start church. That's why I'm not pastoring any church. Using home units. He said, if you want money, you want wealth, you want fame, said, do it. They will meet you there. I said, they will meet you there. So that was the beginning. So I didn't understand what it was all about. But later, he would still come again and say, do this. Then one day, I began to have boils on my face. So this one will go, another one will come. So I was talking to a sister in my church. She said, I should go to the clinic to go and check. Now that we are taking a lot of, don't just take antibiotic, go and go. So I went to the clinic to do tests. Immediately I sat down in the reception. A woman came in, elderly woman, with a young woman carrying a baby. The elderly woman was carrying a baby. The young woman was the mother of the new baby. So I look at them, I was just fascinated. They came in, I said, oh, you are welcome. They greeted me, I shifted for them, they sat down. They were delaying the girl. The old woman just got up and said, "No, I don't like the way you are treating my daughter-in-law. You're supposed to have this lady is sick." And the woman was just angry and scattered the place. And so I was looking at that. I said, "The way this woman was behaving, it looked as if she was the mother of that girl. I didn't know that she was the mother-in-law. How come she's this caring?" I just hear a voice, "Pick your pen. Write 18 ways to win your mother-in-law." I was not married.
Wow.
18 ways. I didn't know what it would be. I didn't have a pen. I had to beg the nurse. He gave me paper and I began to write. That was what started my first book, Wives versus Mother-in-Law, When Will the Battle Cease? I published that book in 1999. I got married in 2002.
And you also asked Sonny Ojiagbasi, who will teach you marketing?
Who will teach me marketing?
So you're able to market
it. So the one was just clapping for me, urging me on. It looks so stupid. How can somebody that is not married, you don't even have a girlfriend, you don't even have a fancy, and you are writing book for mother-in-law? Who will read it?
Lord.
But that was it.
Wow.
But the mentor kept on telling me, "Go and do it." He said, "Inspiration does not come empty.
Hey.
It always comes loaded. Wow. Do it. Write it."
Inspiration doesn't come empty.
It doesn't come empty. It always comes loaded. You may not see what it is, but it is in it. That's how the book, and the way the book sold, it was something else.
Wow.
The funniest part of it, people did not check whether I was married or not.
It's the auto marriage.
My editor then told me that when you want to write about the author, they taught me how to write the author to speak less about my marital. He lives in Lagos. They didn't say he's married. And that was it. Then the second book, the third book. And when I wrote the fifth book, I went to my mentor again. I said, I went this time around proudly. I've arrived. So I gave him all the five books. He checked them. I discovered he was flipping through, but he was not impressed.
Wow.
I was expecting him to say, "Oh, mommy, you have done well." He was not impressed. He was just reading, was flipping through. After finishing going through the five books, he just threw them to me and said, "Is that all?" He said, "Is that all?" I said, "Yes, sir. Five books. He said, Is that all?
Wow.
I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You wrote five books. You are now coming to me. You want me to be clapping for you?" I said, "No, I'm your coach. I'm not your fans club. I'm not your supporters. I'm not here to clap for five books." Wow. He said, "Inside of you, I can see 300 books."
Hey!
Oh. "You now wrote five. You are now busy. Beware. Go and write more."
Wow.
"Go and write more." I was so disappointed inside of me. I said, "This is the last time I will see this man." So I carried the book. I was angry. I was going out. Then he called me back. He said, "BC, say, I know what is in your mind." I said, "What is it?" I said, "Olu ni wa ma bi." "You will not come again." I said,
"Are you ready, my man?"
So I said, I will come again. So as I was going, he said, come. I said, "I know what's in your mind again." It was, I see he was reading my mind. I said, "What is it, sir?" He said, "You are thinking the weighty uta, books that are not said.
Yeah.
How do you want me to write more?"
Yeah.
He said, come. Say they will say low. Say okui ya wani walomasi.
Hey,
that is to say, it is the corpse of their mother.
They will have to bury it.
They will be the one that will bury it. Say right, a time is coming. The whole world will be reading your book. Keep on writing. A time is coming. You won't be able to have time to write again. Say keep on writing. Sonny Ojiagbasi, may his soul rest in peace. So he pumped me until his death. It was on my neck. Even when he was sick and he was not in the country, he would still call me. "How are you doing? What are you doing?" You see, when we have mentors like that, we have great leaders.
Oh, no.
I kept on telling all our leaders that please stop raising sons.
Yeah.
Stop raising followers.
Yeah.
Let's start raising leaders.
Yeah.
Let's start. He raised us well. I didn't have too many time with him, but any 30 minutes, 1 hour, they made me what I am. He recommended a lot of books. At a stage, he stopped seeing me in his office. He was taking me to his house. We sit down, cook for me, himself and his wife, Mama Esther, Jack Bassey. So God used them for me so brilliantly.
Yeah.
And today, I have 136 books, 136 titles on that niche. Marriage, parenting, family life. Only three of them are on something like success and everything. So that is my story.
Wow, this is really impressive. Wow, what a story. What a story. And I hope those of you who are watching this and mentees of mine, I hope some of you think I'm a bit hard on you. I hope this story will encourage you, because people always think that mentors are necessarily to just fan your ego. Yes, there are seasons they would do that, but mentors also have responsibility to be able to correct, to be able to, you know, tell you what they think you are not doing right, and then and get feedback. So they are not. What was your opinion about this conversation? Where two question one. One, you hear people say we have been over mentored, or we have been underfunded. The second one, you see people say, you know, this person is not mentoring me, he's tormenting me. You know, how do, particularly for young people, a lot of young people watch this as well, how do they know when a mentor is caring for them and not tormenting them? As well as, because we have also seen mentors who really torment, and how do you know a wrong mentor?
You see, well, it depends on what you are really looking for. One thing we need to know is, nobody can mentor you for everything you need in life. Ojebase was never my spiritual mentor.
True.
He was my financial mentor.
True.
I have marital mentor. I never discussed my marriage with him. When I was getting married, I didn't invite him. I didn't go take my wife to him to counsel us, to mentor us. So we need to understand that. The second one is, mentorship is not sponsorship. Everybody should know this. When you did, oh, my mentor is a billionaire, he's able to give me money for this project. No.
No.
They can teach you how to raise the project. I kept on telling people, if you are very close to anybody that is rich, the most stupid thing you can do is to demand for money. When you demand for money, you shut the door against yourself, because they will know that you are a Judas. You are not a Peter that want to build the church that's supposed to be. So a mentor can torment you. If that mentor is demanding from you your blood and is not giving anything, you know, a mentor should not demand for blood, asking for money, asking for calling you at all time. For example, a mentor, a male that is mentoring a female, and he began to sleep with them, begin to touch
that's
their
calling for blood.
That is calling for blood. That's calling for blood. But in time of, at a stage, a mentor should torment you.
Just the,
yes. For example, if you want to make a plank very smooth, you have to put sisu on it. If you want to do it at your own time, for example, anytime I want to see Ojebase, you can say, meet me by 6:30 a.m.
Very inconvenient.
Very inconvenient.
Yeah.
He will not see me until 9 a.m. But I will be there by 6:30.
And if you are late.
And if you are late, by the time I will get there, his staff will be waiting for me. So his staff will be waiting for me. I will write my name, the time I came and everything. They will take it to him before he answered me.
Wow.
So it taught me. By the time I began to visit, to see all this, all our fathers in faith, the big men of God.
You knew how to.
I knew how to handle them.
It,
And there was a day I went to visit one big general overseer in Nigeria. I said, "Daddy, I want to see you." He just said, "Monday, 7 a.m. Monday, 7 a.m. If you want to, you know Lagos now, mm-hmm. you know Lagos Road. Monday is the, yeah. It's not the it's best time not. To do, and 7 a.m. is another.
Yeah.
And later he said, come with your wife and children. If you want to get to somewhere with your wife
and children,
with your children, with your children, you must have woken up around 4 a.m.
Wow.
I visited him 2 or 3 or 4 times, the same scenario. The same scenario.
Yeah.
I supposed to say the person is tormenting me, but I knew what I was looking for.
True, true.
I knew that day my children did not go to school.
Wow.
My wife did not go to work, so that I can see him to collect the virtue I needed to collect. So if you are looking for Hampshire mentoring, you will not go far in life. You want to see your... I've seen a lot of people coming to me and say, I want to see you on Saturday by 12 noon. I say, you want to be mentored.
You are the one that you go mentor.
Some people even send you phone number that you should call them. So, and in Africa, that's one thing we have not done well. The issue of mentoring is not there. We even believe in Africa, in Yoruba land, that what the elderly people are using to eat their food, it should be under the leaves, that the younger one must not know. I went to a man to be mentor on the issue of marriage ministry. I was the one following him, try to get... I just discovered that he was not talking to me.
Yeah.
I go to his office, go to his house. We can be there for 3 hours, nothing. So one day, I was there on his dining. Then I saw a particular notebooks. So I pick it. Immediately I opened, I discovered that he wrote some marriage messages. So I began to read it. I was fascinated. I was reading. Suddenly he just came out and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You are reading my note? That's the secret of my dread. Don't try it again. Don't try it again. He just took the thing and just took it inside. That day I knew that this is not a mentor. He thought that by me knowing that thing, I'll be using it all around. Then I may be bigger than him.
That's not a mentor.
And that's not a mentor.
That's not a mentor.
You know that later in life, when we now met and everything, as at that period, I've written 9 books. And I asked him, Baba, did you even have a book? He said, no, I don't have a book. Oh, how do they normally write it? I was the one now mentoring him how to write books. How to write books. So I made up my mind, because he did that one to me, I made up my mind that I will do the opposite for anybody that wants to go into marriage ministry. That's why nowadays, if I see you posting something on marriage on social media, I will be the one that will DM you.
Wow.
Come and see me.
Wow.
Some people will publish some books. I will say, oh, this is a nice book. Come and see me.
Wow.
And I will see them that how, as I will be telling them, is your book selling? It's not selling. This is how it's supposed to do it. Do it this way. Do it this way. Are you certified? Are you trained? Okay, let us train you. Let us do this. Let us do that. And we have so many people like that. So please, leaders, let us rise up to mentor people.
Sure.
In fact, if you are a youth, you are a teenager, you can start mentoring. If you are a teenager, you have children, you can start mentoring.
Yeah.
If you are married for 5 years, you are already a graduate with master degree. For you to survive married for 5 years, we have some people that are in just 1 month that you can mentor. So that is about mentorship.
That's really powerful. My next question will be, when you look at the male leadership in the African context, we're very patriarchal. And you compare it with the Western culture. What are we getting wrong in the family masculine leadership in a home that they are getting right in the Western world? And what is the Western world getting wrong that we are getting right?
I always tell people that African marriage setting is good, but it's not balanced. European marriage setting is good, but it's not balanced. When you press any of this, there's one called matriarchal system of family setting.
Yeah.
We have the matriarchal system of family setting. The one by the law, the one the Bible really sanctions is the patriarchal one.
Okay.
And that one normally bring order, because men are more logical.
Yes,
they can swallow something, resist it, and make logical reasoning, logical decision, and bring us something on the floor. Compared to women, who are more emotional, who have been controlled by feeling. In fact, that's why we call them females. Male with feeling male. That's why they are female. A woman is controlled by feeling. And that is fantastic. That's why they can raise children. That's why they can do. That's why they can balance us.
Mm-hmm.
We must not have logical getting married.
Mm-hmm.
It will cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That will be logical feeling logical getting married. If feelings get married, it will be problem.
Mm-hmm.
They will just be petty. They will be immature. They will be unguarded. And if logical get married, mm-hmm. you will see them. They will be wicked. They don't care. They don't. Children will. A child will be in the room crying, nobody will even remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the problem is, in Africa, we overpray the patriarchal system.
Yes.
To the extent that we become, instead of becoming leader, we become lords.
Mm.
Then in Africa, we have what we call KBAC mentality.
Yes. The person who will, the meaning is, who will question you.
Who will question you, incontrovertible. Unquestionable. So that KBC mentality is in the head of every African man, either Yoruba, Igbo, Hausa, or anything.
Yeah.
Is in the head. I am the head of this family. And they end up becoming headache. I have the final say in the family. They forgot that if you have the final say, before final, there's a quarter final, there's a semi final. But for a man in Africa, we must have the quarter final, the semi final say, and the final say.
Mm-hmm.
With that, things will go wrong. There are aspects, let me tell every man that will be listening to this, there are aspects of our life that women are more wiser,
yes,
more sensible,
yes.
God packages yes. into them. So
they can handle it better.
They can handle them better. Many of them, when my wife brings something like that on the table, I say, you know, it's not my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Go and handle it. And at times, I will ask her, what do you want? But some husband, even color of the chair in the house, they want to
they determine are
the color of the curtain and everything. That
extremely
is what I want.
Possessive.
They are so possessive. They are so demanding. And I always tell people that if you are a leader, if you want to be a good man, a good husband, you must lead by loving. When you lead by loving, you win all the ways. All the way. And to balance it, for women in Africa, a lot of women are rising up, challenging the authority of the man, challenging the leadership. Say, no, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I went to school too. Yes, you went to school, but the order of God is for your husband to be your head, but not your headache. How do we balance this? You see, when a woman respects her husband, when a woman submits to her husband, you know what will happen? She will be the one controlling that man.
Yeah, very true.
She will be the one controlling that
very
man.
Very true.
But when you challenge the man, you bring the warrior inside of him out.
Yes.
Then there will be real battle in the house.
Yes.
So don't bring the warrior inside your husband out. Bring the lover inside of him out, and you will always win. And for men too, inside every woman is a baby and a tiger. The one you feed will be the one that will be in your bedroom.
Hey! A baby and a tiger.
And a baby and a tiger.
Hmm.
The one you feed is the one that will be in your bedroom. When you keep on feeding the baby will grow to be a bigger baby and you enjoy her.
Yeah.
She will be worshipping you.
Yeah.
She will cook for you. She will take care of you. She will take care of your clothes. She will take care of everything. They even take care of they will take over our lives.
That's true.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. Goodness. If we are doing business, you don't even remember that you gave birth to children.
That's true.
But then, as she's taking call, she's calling the children, the children, school.
Yeah.
She's doing this. You don't wonder how they do it. Women are fantastic. So what are you supposed to do? Balance it. Get the best out of your wife. Get the best out of your husband to bring a very solid family. Somebody asked me, what will be the position of the husband in the house? If we say they should not lead, I said they should lead. In fact, I always want women to make their men feel like a man.
Yeah.
Please don't reduce your husband to be a baby or to be a woman. It won't be well with that family.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like it when you call your husband baby. baby, no. The reason why I began to preach against this is I now saw that a lot of men are behaving like babies. They behave like somebody wearing pampers. They don't talk pertinent. Can you imagine a man, anytime he's angry, he abandons food, he will not eat at all for 3, 4, 5, 6 days. I say,
that is baby like a baby.
It's a baby. A man refused to sleep with his wife for 3 years because he was angry with the woman. And they were looking for a child. They were looking for a child. And for 3 years, when they brought him to my office, I looked at him. I said, they said that you can't sell him. But I said, Adibi is ethical. We're supposed to have koboko inside counseling room. So that this man, he doesn't need cancer, he needs koboko to be beaten. I asked him, but uncle, I said, you are not sleeping with yourself. I'm angry with her. I will not sleep with her until her father, her family come to beg me. And she refused to bring her family. I will not sleep with her. I said, but you are looking for children. He said, yes. I said, you are stupid. Me stupid? I said, yes, you are stupid. Please, it's not. I'm not describing you. I'm not abusing you. He said, how come a pastor, a counselor will say, I'm stupid? I said, I'm not describing. Let me explain. A woman is living in your house, eating your food. She is not paying rent. She's not paying for anything. She's just living in your house she does not have a child for you. I said, now, what is your gain? He said, it's true. It's true. What am I gaining you? I said, what's your gain? Free rent, free food, free everything. I said, and no baby, nothing. I said, if this woman is dressing up in your room, why do you say, I normally remove my hair? I said, I said, you are stupid. I said, Pastor, I'm stupid. I'm truly, truly stupid. I'm truly, truly stupid. That's how the issue of baby, call your husband warrior, champion, Odogu. Aha, let him be like a man. That's my Odogu, Mr. Chairman. My chairman is coming, my leader.
How about honey?
Honey is good.
Okay.
Honey, but when you're angry with him, don't change it to Yoyo Peter. Some people say, honey, whenever they have me, so like, I'm not calling you honey again, you're now Yoyo Peter. Honey is good, but please, we can call our wives baby.
Yes,
but please don't call your husband.
It's not a baby.
It's not.
It's a warrior.
It's a warrior.
It's a baodogu.
It's a odogu.
Na ma you be.
My man. Do you know that you don't hail a man by saying you are handsome? You hail him by saying you are strong.
Yes,
you are a man. You are wise. That's why I marry you. That's my man. You know, our parents, our mothers normally call us Okunimeta.
Yes.
Okunimeta.
Okunilengesi.
And they call me Okomi, my husband.
Yes, my husband. That's true. Imagine your mother will be calling you her husband.
Her husband. Falling in love, modern women will call their husband baby, call their son daddy. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? I think we should start this campaign and correct this nonsense. He is not a baby. Husband, if you are watching, tell her not to call you baby again.
Yes, you are not a baby.
You are a dog.
The warrior.
You are the cabbage. You are the warrior. You are the champion. You are the champion. Aha. Uh-huh. So that when you speak, you see, that's why I normally say a man should always be available to raise the children.
Yes.
There's no way you can raise a balanced child when the man is not available.
Yeah.
That this this position of a man in the house that no woman, 10 women together cannot fill it. Bring the grandma, great grandma, all the ma, all the auntie, they were living around to support that child because the father is not available. They cannot take the position of that man.
Yeah.
Because parenting is about fairness and firmness. Fairness and firmness. Somebody should be fair, somebody must be firm. That's why when you are talking to your children, when the wife is talking, the mother is talking to them, oh, Junior, leave that place. Go and sleep. Say, Mommy, Mommy, leave me alone. But immediately the Odogu speaks.
One voice.
And say, Junior.
He behaves. Straighten up.
And if child should have that authority in his head.
Yeah.
And grow with it before he learn to honor and fear God.
Yeah.
Or he will never fear God. He will never fear God. He will never fight the authority of the nation.
Because he doesn't. He has not seen it.
They will end up in prison.
Yeah. He's never seen it.
You must culture a child. Leave that place now. I said you should go to bed. They learn obedience through the voice of the father. The voice of a mother is too romantic. They won't. They may not. It's too. It's still musical in nature.
Mm-hmm.
is too musical in nature. And you know that they've been lovers for 9 months before we met them for the first time.
Yes.
They've been lovers. And, you know, they will be on their breast, yes. play with them yeah. and everything. But somebody is coming around and speak. And please, for African men that are hearing this, we don't now say you become a terror at home.
Mm.
We are balancing it.
Yeah.
Don't be a terror at home.
Mm.
And because if you are a terror, one thing I hate that I always correct is, you didn't cook for your child, you didn't take them out, you didn't play for them. The only thing you do is to help. You are the one that is disciplining them. They will offend your wife yeah. from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
She won't do anything. She'll be piling them. So when you now arrive around 9 p.m.,
yes.
you now say, by 2 p.m., Junior did this, by 3 p.m., Junior, you say, hey, come, everybody, come!
Everybody.
And you begin to deal with them. You see, the memory you put in their yeah. head is, our yeah. mommy is good,
yes,
our daddy is bad.
You see, why is the mommy that reported
it? It's the mommy
them.
That reported it. Women are very smart. In fact, when that baby is crying, mommy will see gold at the back. Wait, is it daddy? Daddy beat you.
Yeah.
Daddy beat you. Always remember that every mother is a mother by birth.
Wow.
But every father is a father by introduction.
Mm.
By introduction. Mm. When your wife became pregnant, every child when they were in the womb, there's something they call umbilical cord.
Yes,
is the cord of love between a mother and a child.
Yes,
if they cut it, the time they don't supposed to cut, the baby will die.
Yeah,
so they share the same soul, the same spirit.
Mm.
It's more than what we ever thought about. The same blood. In fact, at a time when the mother is sick, I read somewhere that there are situations whereby some tissue in the body of the baby will heal the mother.
Wow.
And the other way.
Wow.
And it's like that. And they are like that for a long time, for 9 months, and the baby was born. Now, that is why when the baby, there are food they will tell a pregnant woman not to eat, because the baby is sharing it. My wife will say, there are some songs she normally sing to her babies when they were in the womb. Immediately, we are singing that song, you will see the baby moving.
Mm.
When those babies were born, they loved those music. So it had been like that. Now, another thing is, when they give back to the baby, you see them carrying the baby most of the time,
yes,
more than us.
Yes.
So on their chest, on their breast, they are there. The love affair continues.
Yeah.
So by the time the baby is born, they've had love affair for 9 months. So it takes 9 hours for the baby to recognize the voice of the mother. Nine hours.
Wow. Nine hours.
9 hours. But for all, it takes about 9 weeks.
Wow.
For them to understand
already
the voice.
Already disadvantaged.
Already disadvantaged from day one. So now, by the time a baby is coming, you are coming from work, and you came in, and your wife is breastfeeding a baby. You will now tell the baby, say, baby, see daddy.
Mm.
See that daddy has come.
You.
So the baby will now look up, okay, now you do the work, okay.
See,
we'll be sucking again. So when you're not talking, baby, how are you? They will now be studying your voice for the next 9 weeks.
Yeah.
That's why at times you stress your hand to all your baby, the baby will say
no.
He will never do it one time to the mother. He will never do. So if there's no umbilical cord, you will now create what we call love thicker cord. Love an umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
Aha.
Love
thicker cord. How do you do that? By loving the mother so that they can make you to be part of the cord. You now create love thicker. They remove umbilical cord. You now have love thicker cord so that the child can be. That is why you will see them singing. I'm a sweet mother.
Yeah.
I know. Come on.
There's no sweet father.
There's no sweet father. Because most of the time, we don't have this understanding.
Yes.
My child will be traveling today. All my program today, I've planned it. We are going to be at the airport together. I pay for the flight ticket. I'll be stupid not to be at the airport. I will be stupid not to be at the airport. Unlike some men. One guy said, my father paid for my tree, for master, for everything. At the airport, he was not there. He said, all the 9 hour flight, I was crying. This man does not love me.
Wow.
He paid paid almost $35,000, $40,000. But this guy, the child is still saying, this man does not love me. But the mother was there.
And she didn't pay anything.
And she didn't pay anything. Nobody remember the school fees. But they will remember PTA meeting.
Yes.
They will remember open day.
Yeah.
They will remember the cultural day. They will remember end of year party that you attended. Our first son, when he was in nursery school, went to school, and they were having this end of year party, and it was part of the school choir, nursery school. So we canceled everything. I was there. I can never forget. When we got there, they brought the choir out, the school mass choir. They brought them out. Immediately, my boy came out, began to do like this. He was practically distracted. He was doing like this. So they were turning him. They were trying to make him to sing. He was not singing. People were dancing this way. My boy was dancing this way. Suddenly, he saw me by one corner. I was sitting on the high table at one corner. The crowd was there. The choir was there. My boy turned this way and faced this place. I just sent to the choir. Face this way.
But so it's you I'm singing
it's
for.
What I'm sing, it's you I'm singing for. So they went there, they turned him, and I said, no, he turned. They were turning him. The principal, the school owner now said, please, pastor, can you go to the crowd?
So they can have face.
So I left the place, and I sat down in the crowd.
Enough.
And that is it. A lot of men are making these mistakes. A lot of men. That is why when it is time for Omugo in Canada, they abandon you in Nigeria.
You're on your own. They resume their umbilical cord.
Yeah, they continue their umbilical cord. In that age. So we need to do something as men to make sure that we are always there. And then if they say, beat your this junior did this, and I will give my wife Ken, please beat them. I mean to be there. Don't set me up for them.
I mean, we have to bring you back. Time is up. But I want to ask this last question. We have to bring you back.
Why is and how important is the role of family and then particularly fathers and families? We're seeing the same in Black America, even in the U.S. now. And one of the things we're seeing is the records are terrible. You know, almost 7 out of 10 fathers of Black Americans are absent in their lives. I'm seeing crime go up. America is more worse now for Black people in terms of income, inequality, jobs, you know. From the time of the civil era, the data showed that they were even better during the civil era than they are now. Okay? And one of the things that is obvious is the absence of fathers in homes. You know, we're going to see that also moving to Nigeria. Baby father, baby mother, you know. And you could trace some of the crisis in the Western world to a lot of this. Divorce, lack of fatherhood, you know, and how it affects nation. It ultimately messes up the fabric of the entire nation. How do you speak to that?
You see, the position of father, many people are making mistakes. They think it's just about paying house rent, school fees. Of course, that is part of it, but that's not the maximum thing you need to do. The father should be at home to be the priest of the house. To be the priest of the house. The kind of Christianity I have now, I got it from my own dad. There was a time I was thinking my father was the assistant of Holy Spirit. That he couldn't sing. He was too clean in my presence. He was my hero. I can count the number of times he beat me. But I fear him more than my mother, who beat every second. Like, Mama can use anything, the shoe, the kilicon, if you mistakenly bounce on her leg. She's a choleric woman. But I fear this man. When I left home, Even when I was not born again, I knew that my father would not be at home on Sunday. So I had to go to church. At the time, I want to do something. I said, what would my daddy do in this kind of situation? My brand of politics, he was a lover of Awolowo. As at that period, I love everything UPN. I never voted around that period, but I just love everything he said, everything he did, how he loved it. He loved football too. I love in the day of shooting star, everything. So there's a place. The presence of a father, but father is supposed to be born mentor. The mentor, the living mentor. That you sit down around them, you listen, you hear things. So fathers supposed to bring stability. Fathers, we normally say fathers as feathers. They make you to fly high. Father as feathers. Fathers supposed to be ladders. My father did not go to school, but he kept on saying that the greatest regret in his life that he wasn't, he didn't go to school. And he said he attended school for 3 weeks before his father died. So they came to pick him, that they would bring him back. They never did. But we mentioned, you know, Advocate of Nigeria and every some other people, total people as at that period, who were his classmates in primary for those 3 weeks. So and he told us that he doesn't have the money, but he must go to school. Everything you want to do, you must go to school. So, he, despite the fact that I was raised in the village, he put that city mentality into us. As far back as 1987, 86, he kept on saying, the time is coming, bricklayer will have to be a graduate. I don't know where he got it. He said, mechanic will have to be a graduate.
And it's happening now.
And it's happening now. As at that period, there was no single graduate pastor all around us. And one day he looked at me and said, you'll be a pastor, but don't come and tell me God call you until you finish university or Poli-Elekeji. Second, he didn't know what they call it, so he called it Poli-Elekeji. He said, never come and tell me God call you until you finish your university. He said, because pastors of tomorrow, they are graduates.
Oh, and that's from a man who didn't go to school.
So he put that. So when other people, my primary school men were going to learn mechanic and everything like that, what he put into our head was there. So when I failed my head, I cried because I felt that I've done the greatest crime against my dad. So fathers, I beg you in the name of the Lord, let's go back home. You see what is happening in America. You see, even in South Africa, the same thing in South Africa here. South Africa in the days of apartheid, they carried a lot of fathers away. I was in South Africa some few years ago, then they took me to a particular area, fast land, real estate place. They said 99.99% of all the buildings here were built by women.
Wow.
99.99% of women. I minister in a church. When we finish, somebody raised up a hand that I want to ask questions. I want to ask a question. Then the woman got up and said, he said, please, can we get men from Nigeria to come and marry us? He said, because our men are not responsible.
The same thing Kenya president said about how his two daughters
now married to Nigerians. He said, can they come and marry us? He said, can you see our church? Now that church was about 300. We didn't have up to 10 men in the church. He said, go and see them outside. They are drinking, they are smoking, and that is it. But the same trend is coming to Nigeria now. Go to our university, the first 10 best graduate students. Ladies, something is wrong.
Something is
a lot of our guys are now running after Yahweh, what is crying. I don't know what is wrong with us. So please, let's read men. Another problem we have with men is men don't mentor boys. We don't talk to them. We don't play with them. You hardly see boys, you hardly see father even talking to their son. If you see my children and my sons and myself talking football, they are all Arsenal fans. So when they were buying, how they buy Yokere, how they buy Eze, we were talking about it.
Are you also Arsenal?
I was forced to become. So we're talking this and that. And then one day my son came to me and said, Daddy, he was very small then. He said, Daddy, I won't be Arsenal fan again. I said, well, they are disappointing me. He said, they are losing matches. I said, that's how to learn how to be a faithful supporter. If you really want to be a faithful person, yes, be an asthma fan.
Yes.
So, by the time we finish talking about that, we cannot talk Bible.
Learn how to be loyal.
Learn how to be loyal.
Even when somebody is disappointing,
when you are disappointed, then okay. And they are good. Today, you will see them practically praying. Let us now win this mass. Let that the role of a father. Pastors, leaders, fathers are told that you want to teach them Bible. Start with football. Start with current affairs.
Yes.
Start with playing football with them.
Things they can relate.
Things they can relate with. We can sit down, we can play, we can do a lot of things together. And the best thing you can do for your children is to love their mothers.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. Because they are born lovers.
Yeah.
So when you love the mother, they believe you love them. And that's how to be. So when you scatter there, I will just send you packing. Oh, you are sending your children packing, we don't know. Oh, even if you send your wife packing and your children are still with you, they are not with you.
Sure.
They are not with you. So let's build a family where the children will have a conducive environment. Let's build a nest in there for our birds. So that even if they fly across the globe, they are still coming back. Because there is joy, there is peace, there is love at home.
Oh, thank you, sir. Come on. This one deserves a big round of applause. All of you in the studio, what are you doing for your attitude? Please, show power on this.
Did
you hear?
Man.
Man,
not just a boy.
You know, I tell him often. He's missing at work. He's disappeared.
This reason shall a man leave his father and his mother.
Amen.
And to get to his feet and leave hope. Amen.
Thank you, sir, for this. We'll have to bring you back soon. And it will just be men's talk.
Yes.
Just men's talk.
I think we need it.
You know, men's talk. And to be honest, I need men to know that we also need to forgive ourselves. Some of us are too hard on ourselves.
Not too hard.
Right, some of us are extremely too hard, but it's important to talk with ourselves on how to be better, how to be a man, and how not to put pressure. I think that unfortunately Nigerian men are under too much pressure.
Yes.
Meanwhile, some other men in other African countries are under less pressure, like no pressure, you know, but we'll balance it. Thank you for calling.
Thank you
for sharing. I'm sure this will bless a lot of people. Remember, go to Pastor Bisi Adewale's website. He has lots of books, lots of materials. You can follow him on social media.
Follow us on facebook.com/PastorBisiAdewale.
Beautiful.
Pastor Bisi Adewale. Then IG is Bisi Adewale. For TikTok is Bisi.Adewale.
Beautiful. So go follow it. There's a lot to learn. And what I love about his method, I mean, he's very loving. You know, if he's mentoring you, whether it's marriage or... So forget the way some of it sound here. He's very loving, no judgmental. He's never judgmental. So, and that's... I'm very discreet. Very discreet. So... We love you. Thank you. See you in another episode. Bye-bye, guys.
Thank you.